My name is Rob Sowers. I am pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran in Winter Haven, Florida, and I'm a member of the Board of Missions, which is why I'm here this week. I had somebody ask if I came here all the way from Florida just to give chapel, and while that would be an honor, nope, that's not why. But I'm glad to be here to deliver God's word to you this morning. Today we'll consider from John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So a man tells a story of visiting a college which had, for the students' protection, these call boxes every few hundred feet. And the point was that if you're walking around, especially at night, and you would feel sort of unsafe, that you would go to one of these call boxes and push the button, and security would show up right away, hopefully. Only one of the boxes had out of order on it, which is a little bit concerning. Even more concerning, though, is the fact that that must have been there for a while, because somebody had written underneath it, had the time to write underneath it, "Keep running." It's sort of a metaphor for how many people live their lives, though, right? They can't find any real security. They can't find any real peace. And so they sort of go running, right? They go running from one thing to the next to try to find peace and security and all of that, and they just never do find it. "All I want is just a little peace." Ever find yourself saying that? It's precious, right? And it's precious because it's something that's just hard to find in this sin-filled world. That's why our Savior's words to his disciples and to us today are so comforting. So Jesus encourages us then today to stop running and to find peace in the resurrected Son of God. So our text begins, and it's Easter, it's the evening, and the disciples have absolutely no peace. Now they've heard, right, they've heard that Jesus is risen, the women had told them that, but they sort of dismiss that as sort of idle tales, they don't quite believe it. Peter and John had seen the empty tomb themselves, of course, but they hadn't seen Jesus yet. And so, okay, we've heard that Jesus is risen, we've seen that he's not in the tomb where he was left, but where is he now? What they did know were that the Jews were still out there. That's why they're in that room behind locked doors. And it's still, of course, very fresh in their memory what had just happened over the past few days, what had happened to Jesus. And certainly, they figured that the Jews were going to be out to get them as well. And so the disciples have no peace. They're somewhere locked behind those locked doors. And you can just imagine, right? Every sound of a voice that they hear outside, every creak of the floor probably makes them jump. Their fear had robbed them of peace. It wasn't just that which was outside of them that robbed them of peace, though. It was also the things inside themselves. See, they're hiding in that room from the Jews, but in a way, they're really hiding from themselves, too. Remember what they did, right? They had all said to a man that they would stay with Jesus, that they would die rather than abandon him in his time of need. And yet, when Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's exactly what they do. They run away. And so their consciences also are bothering them. Their sin troubled them. Their weakness had overwhelmed them. And we know what all of this is like, don't we? There's so much in this world, there's so much outside of us that robs us of peace, right? There are criminals that we can see, there are diseases that we can't see, there are accidents that happen in this world that just seem so random. There's so many reasons for us to remain behind those locked doors. But you know, even staying behind those locked doors, that doesn't help. It doesn't give us the peace that we need. Like the disciples, we have those battles that we face, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. The disciples' guilt had robbed them of their peace. They had let the Lord down, and we have done the same. We've pledged our commitment to our Lord, haven't we? We've pledged our obedience to him, and yet time and time again, we've broken those promises that we've made to him. And we remember, don't we? Even if we won't admit it, we do remember those times when we have let our Lord down, when we have seriously sinned, and Satan is always just right there at just the wrong time to bring those things up to us. And he'll remind us of the pain that we've caused. If only there was a place that we could go to hide from all of those things outside of us, to hide from everything inside of us too, then we would find peace. And some try that, right? But they try to find that in all the wrong places. They try to hide from the things inside and outside through drugs and alcohol and even through sin. If they pile enough sin on top of sin, then the guilt sort of goes away because we forget that it's sin. But of course, none of that works because it doesn't deal with the ultimate problem that robs us of our peace. The thing that robs us of our peace really is this: that we believe that our problems are greater than our God. And so our problem really is, it's a lack of faith. It's really, in the end, unbelief. As the disciples are sitting behind those doors on that first Easter morning, Jesus came to them. The doors were locked, but it didn't matter. Jesus came to his frightened, cowering disciples. He came not as a ghost, but with his resurrection body. They could see him, right? They could see the nail prints in his hands and feet, and they could see his side. And what he gives them is exactly what they so desperately need. And notice what he speaks to them. He doesn't come to rebuke them for their cowardice, for their unfaithfulness. He doesn't come and say, "I'm back, and now I'm here to get you for your unfaithfulness." No, what does he say? He says, "Peace be with you." Jesus steps into that nervous, barricaded room, and he banishes fear and death, the fear of any sort of condemnation too. And finally, the disciples have peace. They have peace because of his word. They have peace because of his presence. Their faith is restored. Did they fear the Jews? Did they fear death? These don't need to be feared. Jesus has conquered them, right? He's standing there right in front of them. And so they know for sure that their sins have been conquered, that death has been conquered, the devil has been conquered, and they stand there forgiven. Jesus doesn't hold any of those sins against them. All of their shortcomings, all of their fears, all forgiven. For the same reason, of course, Jesus still comes to us today. He comes to us who are so often afraid, who so often worry. He comes to us with his word. He comes to us with his presence. And he comes to us with those things to give us what we so desperately need, peace. And we don't have the opportunity to put our hands in the nail prints, to put our hand into Jesus' side, but yet he still comes to us, right? Think about what we do in worship. Think of what we do in the beginning of worship. What do? We confess our sins to the Lord. We lay all of our sins on him. And until we hear those words of absolution, then we're restless, right? Our sins, they're out there. And then those words of absolution come from the pastor, but the words of the Lord to us: "I forgive you all your sins." We arrive and we have the opportunity to receive the Lord's Supper, and once again we receive the Lord's peace. His presence is right there. His body that was broken for us, his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, delivered to us there, and he is truly present, delivering again the forgiveness of sins to us. And after we receive the Lord's Supper, what is declared to us? Depart in peace, right? Because that's exactly what we have. We have peace through God that our sins are forgiven. We have that peace with God, and yet we know that we still have all of these problems and all of these fears and worries, And they so often overshadow the glory of the resurrection. And so the Lord continues to come to us again and again through his word. The Lord has preserved his word for us graciously, and that word continues to speak to us. It continues to bring us peace. That word reminds us of the peace that we have with God, of the fact that we do not get what we deserve for our sins, that Jesus took the punishment on himself because of our sins so that we would have peace. And so we can turn to that word. And what do we see? We see so many promises that our God has made to us, and we see every single one of those promises fulfilled in Christ. And so we can be sure and certain that we have peace with God. Dear friends in Christ, you have that peace. You might still have some stress. You, of course, have to still deal with the same difficulties and problems that everybody else does in this world. But you have something that overcomes all of that stress and anxiety and fear. You have peace. You have that peace that supplies the confidence that everything is going to be okay. A peace that provides you with the certainty that the Lord is going to take care of you. The peace that instills in you that sure and unwavering hope that one day you'll be with your Lord forever, where there's nothing but rest and peace for you. There's no need to keep running to look for peace. You have it in Jesus. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll close this morning with the singing of hymn 726, all three stanzas.